All right, notice as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we will be reading from verse 1, but my text this morning is going to be from verse 5. I want to title the message this morning, Mothers and Grandmothers. And this evening, we're going to be preaching a message titled, The Dew of Youth, out of Psalms 110 and verse 3, and we're going to speak to the daughters, and we're going to repeat this Father's Day. We're going to talk about fathers and grandfathers, and then Sunday night, we're going to go back to the subject of the dew of youth, and we're going to talk about sons. So that's an interesting title for tonight, but it's going to be related to Christ and what he accomplished in his youth. Well, notice as we begin reading from verse 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now here's a verse that we're going to use to begin our message. And I do have a message on grandparents in an article, and I also have a message on Lois, the grandmother, last year in October. But notice in verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, speaking of Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day that you've given us, this Mother's Day. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to assemble together in thy house with thy people. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us. We pray that the mothers would feel honored, not only from thee, but also from this pulpit as well and from Holy Scripture. Lord, we just pray for thy presence to be with us and thy will to be done. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We find as we come to the Holy Scripture, the beauty of mothers and grandmothers. They're seen all through the Bible. And the God of heaven gives great honor to them as a vital part of his creation and his kingdom and the roles that he has given to them. Now notice back in verse 5, and I have preached this will be 39 Mother's Day messages over the years. We've preached many other messages at other times, and I never get tired of doing that. And sometimes we say some of the same things we've said before, and sometimes we come at it at a different angle. But I'm very thankful for the mothers, the grandmothers, the women of this church. God honors single, the married, the widows. He honors all women. And I have to give testimony, as some of you men have, to my wife, a mother and a grandmother, who has been faithful, raised a child, and also has been a blessing to the grandchildren. Now, the Bible gives warrant from beginning to end to honoring mothers and grandmothers, to honor women in general. It is commanded, but I would be doing it even if it wasn't commanded. But it is commanded. We'll read that in a little bit. We find that there's over 200 named women in the Bible. There's many unnamed women. They're mentioned. We don't have Noah's wife's name, but God mentions Noah and his wife and his children. And you'll find here that in verse 5, as we come here, he says, "And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." We see something very special in this particular passage here. We find here that we have Timothy's mother and grandmother mentioned by name. In other words, both of these, the mother and grandmother, played a major role in the teaching of Timothy, giving him the Holy Scriptures, laying a foundation so that when Messiah would come, that he would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke Wednesday night out of the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, about virtuous women. We find that virtuous women, the word virtue is connected with her character, is connected with her home, her husband, her children, her work, things of that nature. Now, I want you to come back here. Notice with me in verse 5. Again, I want to camp out here just for a few moments as we get started. But we have a remarkable mother and grandmother in this passage. Now, notice in verse 5 again as we come here. And let's say just a few things about the grandmother. And then just a few things about the mother. And then a few thoughts about Timothy. And then I want to come back and just look at mothers in general, some passages, and then, of course, grandmothers in general. Now, notice as we come back here in verse 5, we see here the word grandmother and the word Lois. This word grandmother, this is the only time that this word is used in Scripture. But there's many grandmothers in the Scripture. We find many. But it says here in this passage, it speaks of this faith that was instilled in Timothy. It first came from grandmother Lois. Now, she was a Jewish woman of great faith. She was a mother. She was a grandmother. She played a major role, as I've already said, in the training of Timothy, her grandson, who became a faithful servant of the Lord. In other words, her legacy lives on 2,000 years later. God chose to put her name in the Scripture in a good way as an example for you and I today. She raised her daughter in the faith in the Lord. And we find that she was a godly grandmother. In other words, she would have been a grandmother of prayer, of faith, and conduct. So notice also that we have the mother here, Eunice. We find that she was a Jew. Her husband, Timothy's father, was a Greek. And there's no indication that he was a Christian. And we find that she continued in the faith of her mother, which eventually led her to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, as they're living out the New Testament, the apostles are writing the letters. They don't have the whole New Testament at this time, but they have the Old Testament. And so that's what they had been taught, the coming Messiah. So we find here that Eunice, the mother of Timothy, we find here that, again, she was a believer. She was a Jew. She married to a Greek. Again, there's no indication that he was a Christian. And so we find here that she continued in the faith of her mother. This is passed down from one generation to the next. We find that she passed her faith on to her son in a very effective way. Now, that's very important. If we could do this, you wouldn't have to evangelize every generation as we have to do most of the time in America. And see, think about this. Let's just assume, we don't know for sure, but let's assume, because the way it's worded here and also in Acts 16, let's just assume that Timothy's father was not a Christian. we find that in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14, if there's one of the parents in the family that is a believer, in other words, the children are sanctified. In other words, what that means is that if there's one Christian in a home, the others have a greater chance of coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so we find that Timothy took on the faith of his mother and not the father, according to our text. In other words, this faith that was in his grandmother, that was instilled into his mother, he embraced that faith and took that unto himself. Let me show you something also. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read in verses 14 and 15. And in this place, we find that the Apostle Paul emphasizes the faith, again, of the mother and the grandmother, along in spiritually training Timothy, who became a great soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, he gives credit again to his upbringing. I want to read verse 14 and 15. I am not sick this morning. My throat is not hurting. I've been up most of the night, and so my throat is just not working well. Now notice as we come to verse 14 and 15. He said, but again, still speaking to Timothy. This is one of the pastoral epistles. And he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, speaking to Timothy now, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Notice he's still given credit to the grandmother and the mother of the wonderful faith that Timothy had. He said in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. In other words, he was taught daily and regularly the Old Testament Scriptures. And the Old Testament Scriptures proclaimed that Messiah would come. And when Messiah came, Timothy and his mother and his grandmother embraced the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we find here raising a Timothy, and we find the mother and the grandmother. It appears that the father was not involved in the spiritual training of Timothy, but we find that that the mother and grandmother instilled in him the truths of the Word of God. Go back with me now to chapter 1, and let me read the first few verses again before we turn away. Now, when we come to this subject, Timothy was Paul's spiritual son in the faith. He was a young evangelist or pastor, as we read through the Scripture. Two letters named after him. And he was a disciple. We know that according to Acts chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. He was a disciple. He was a believer at Lystra in his hometown. The indications are in Acts 14, verse 6 and 7, that probably Paul led the entire family to the Lord. But Timothy became a faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. He was very loyal, very trustworthy. He was a friend of the Apostle Paul and a great helper. Notice the wording again. And again, we could turn to other places here in Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy. We see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 through 18, his ordination and his calling into the ministry when hands were laid on him. It appeared that he had pastored at Ephesus at one time, and he ministered in at least five different churches, and tradition, not the Bible, but tradition says that Timothy became a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a remarkable young man that helped the Apostle Paul until his dying days. Now just look at the wording again before we turn away, because we're going to move on. We're looking at grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, and Timothy the son. And then we're going to just kind of step into grandmothers in general and mothers in general, and finish the rest of the sermon with that. But notice as we come back to verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, notice my dearly beloved son. He's his spiritual son. He said, dearly beloved. Timothy meant a lot to the apostle Paul. And Paul meant a lot to Timothy. And he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. These were two close men. They became close, they served the Lord together, and that bond was never broken. Then he says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul spent a lot of time in prison. And then in verse 5, coming to this passage again, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that means it's not phony, but it is genuine, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, most American Christians are happy if their children grow up and make a lot of money, vote in the Republican Party, and they're patriotic, and they're not on drugs, and they're not involved in immorality and whatever, but you can still go to hell doing all those kind of things. Must be born again, must be saved by the grace of God. And we find that Timothy embraced the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But again, it was because of his mother and his grandmother. Many times in society, women get belittled, and still yet God lifts them up. He praises them for their faith and their contribution to the kingdom of God and to the church. Amen. Now turn with me to the book of Titus. And notice here as we come to Titus, I'm going to be reading in chapter 2. In the book of Titus, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now in this passage, we have mentioned here the older or aged women and the young women. Notice as we come to this passage, first of all, let's say a few more words about the older women, the grandmothers. Of course, you don't have to be old to be a grandmother, but notice now as we come here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Most of us have fond memories of our grandmothers, do we not? Let's talk about grandmothers first of all. I preached both of my grandmother's funerals. The first was in 1989, and she was 88 years of age when she died, and she was born in 1900. That's a ways back. And I was partially raised by her. Spent a number of years with her, and I called her Granny, and we call the other grandmother on my mother's side Grandma. That's so we could keep them straight in our conversations as we talked. But she was as a mother to me, and again, partially raised me. And I had the privilege and opportunity to lead her to the Lord about 2 weeks before she died. And I had, we were living in Selma, Alabama at the time. And I got up one morning, the Lord had laid on my heart, I didn't know what, but he laid on my heart to leave and go see my grandmother. I was about 5 hours, I think, away from her. And she was living in Dayton, Tennessee. And my wife said, "You want us to pack and get ready to go?" I said, "No, I got to leave right now. And I've just got to go. I'll tell you why later." I didn't even know why. I said, I just felt like there was, I said, "I've got to go see Granny." And as I was pulling in 4 or 5 hours later into her driveway, we didn't have cell phones and those things back then, you know, that you carried conversation on while you're driving. As I pulled in the driveway, there's a nurse pulling in the driveway at the same time I pulled in. And it's been a few weeks since I had spoken with her, and she was bedridden. And I got to spend the day with her. I had a man in my church that was dying in Birmingham, and I was having to spend every other night in the hospital with him. And so I spent a day or so with my grandmother, was able to lead her to the Lord. I had to leave and go back. I had ended up having two funerals, one in my church and my grandmother, so we were back and forth. But I was able to lead her to the Lord. She was a good woman in the sense that she just treated everybody well. But we know that don't get us into heaven. It's good to be good. I love to be around good people. But we've got to be saved with that goodness. We've got to be born again, as the Scripture tells us. So I was able to lead one of my grandmothers to the Lord and preach her funeral. The other grandmother was a Christian. And I'm sure she prayed for me many, many times. And I preached her funeral. She died at 93 years of age. And when we would go on vacation, our vacation was centered around visiting with family in Tennessee. Nearly every vacation that we have taken over the years. Now, I would get up every morning. My wife would be with her mother and so forth. And I'd get up and I'd spend the first half a day with my grandmother. And then the rest of the day with my father and my brother and other people. And I remember one time as I was graduating from high school, she made me sit down and she made me do thank you cards for those that had given something to me for graduation. I've never forgotten that. And also I got a job in a hospital my last year in high school, and they probably don't even use these words anymore, orderlies and gray ladies, probably something foreign now, but I was an orderly in a hospital. I don't know what word they use now, and she was a gray lady. We both are, she didn't get paid for what she was doing, she's just volunteering, but we were both working at the same hospital. So I have fond memories of both of my grandmothers. And I've always enjoyed being around older people. And now I are one. I know that's not good English, but now I are one. I'm an older person. I'm headed towards 70. And our daughter had a good relationship with her grandparents, also the ones that lived within the vicinity and so forth. Notice as we read in Titus, we find here that the older women are to be godly examples. They are to conduct themselves in a holy way, and they are to teach the younger women. Beginning in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience." Now here it is, the aged women. He addresses the aged men in verse 1. He addresses the aged women in verse 3. He addresses the young women in verse 4 and 5. And he addresses the young men in verses 7 and 8. But we're talking about grandmothers. He says here in verse 2 that the aged women likewise, in other words, they are to be sound in doctrine and in the faith. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, now notice this, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, that is to be separated, chaste, that means to be clean and pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We find here that there's many grandmothers and grandfathers given to us throughout the scriptures. There's many that are found. But the name grandmother is mentioned only once. The Bible usually refers to grandfathers and grandmothers as children's children, as in Psalms 103, verse 17, and in Psalms 128, and in verse 6. But there's many as we go through the scripture. I think about in Ruth chapter 4, Naomi. Remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? The Bible says in Ruth 4 that when Ruth had a child, that Naomi took her grandson, Obed, unto her and became nurse unto him. In other words, she was involved in the raising and the training of this grandson, as well as Ruth was, as well as Lois and Eunice. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob took Joseph's sons and he blessed them, but he not only blessed them, he prophesied over them, and those prophecies came to pass. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll read one other verse on this. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we find here the chapter. Let me read the first three verses just to begin with. The chapter is dealing with the elder women, the widows, and the widows indeed. But he said in verse 1, he said, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed." In other words, that's widows that have no family or no one to help take care of them. And they were to be brought into the church for financial support and so forth if they had no family or relatives whatsoever. But notice there was some qualifications in this. And one of the qualifications is in verse 9, had to do with the age. They need to be 60 years of age. But notice in verse 10, and here's another one. He said this. He says, "And well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." We see here that the elder women are to be godly and well-respected and well-honored, those who have loved God and served Him over the years. We're talking about in this chapter and Titus domestic duties. Domestic duties is a high calling in God. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, when you read through the end of that chapter, it's dealing with domestic duties. Her life is centered around her home, her husband, her children, her character, things of that nature, and that's the way that they're to be trained. So we have grandmothers given to us in the scripture. Again, we have a sermon, an article titled Grandparents, and then we have a sermon in October of last year titled Grandmother Lois. But let's go back to chapter 1 and notice back with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read verse 5 one more time and let's talk about mothers. He says here in verse 5, he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The first 14 verses of this chapter, he's admonishing Timothy about embracing and the faith and preaching the faith. In other words, in verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So he's encouraging Timothy to stand for the truth. Notice with me in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to be reading in chapter 6. And if you're taking notes, Exodus 20, verse 12 is a parallel passage. It's where the quote comes from. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's talk about honoring mothers. The fifth commandment teaches us to honor our father and our mother. We live in a society that many has forgotten that. Would you not agree? The word honor means to give proper place of respect, to esteem, to regard in high estimation by word and action. The Lord Jesus dealt with this in the book of Matthew about honoring. There are those that would not honor their elderly parents. They took their money and used it in other ways. But we find that we are to honor our parents. Of course, we're talking about mothers this morning. And I'm going to be reading the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Notice, when you read, this is a part of the Ten Commandments. And when you read in Exodus 20 and verse 12, he talked about long life in the land, the promised land that was promised to Israel. Here, the promise, notice in verse 13, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. This is expanded from the Ten Commandments to just Israel only, to the entire world, the Gentile world that have, you know, embraced the doctrine of Christ. And then he said in verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So clearly, coming back now to verse 2, we're to honor them. My mother will turn 90 years of age August the 2nd of this year. She lives 3,000 miles from me. I was telling somebody the other day, he said, "Where's your family at?" I said, "Which part are you talking about?" Got family in Tennessee, California, Washington states where my mother's at. Got a sister in Vancouver Island, Canada. I wasn't not raised by my mother. I was with her until I was about 4 years of age, and then a divorce came. So she, and it wasn't her fault she couldn't raise me, it's just due to the circumstances. But I have great respect for my mother, and I have a great relationship with my mother for many, many years. Talked with her for a long time yesterday. We sent her flowers about 3 or 4 times a year. I talked to her on a weekly basis. And I told her, I said, "Mom, I'm going to be a Christian 50 years next week, next Sunday on the 15th of May. I'll be a Christian 50 years. She said, "Tell me about that again." And so I gave her my testimony again. And she said, you need to be telling this more often." I said, "Mom, I'm a preacher. I tell it every chance I get." And moms are very special. Like I said, I wasn't even raised by my mom. And we have a very special relationship. Love her very dearly. Notice, as we look here again, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 22. But he says here in verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." It is a commandment with promise. And that promise is in verse 3. Now notice, as we turn to Matthew chapter 22. In the book of Matthew in chapter 22. And notice here. We find in this passage, I want to begin reading along about verse 34. Again, we're coming back to the subject of the Ten Commandments. Matthew chapter 22, I'll begin reading in verse 34 through verse 40. Now, as we come through the Scriptures, we find that the Lord Jesus is our greatest example. With everything, is it not? With faith and practice and conduct and conversation. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 that He is our example in suffering. Well, He's our great example, and here's one thing that He did. As a matter of fact, our sermon tonight is going to be divided up into two parts. I'm going to title it, The Dew of Youth. We're going to talk about, first of all, the dew of Christ's youth, and secondly, the dew of our youth. And we're going to focus on daughters. Then Father's Day, we're going to come back, and we're going to preach half of that sermon again on Christ, and then we're going to focus in on sons. Cover all the bases. Mothers, grandmothers, daughters, fathers, grandfathers, and sons. We're going to cover all the bases with that. But as we come to this passage in the New Testament, the book of John, the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ honored His mother. Now, He's our great example. And if you write down John 19, verse 26 and 27, where the Lord is speaking, hanging on the cross now, this is His dying breath. He's hanging on the cross. He makes a statement to John, to his mother, and then to John. And He's basically telling the Apostle John to take care of his mother, to take her home. In other words, in His dying breath, He honored His mother. This is our great example. And not only that, if you write down Luke 2, we're going to mention this again tonight. In Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52, and I'm going to say more about this tonight, but you're going to find that He not only honored His parents, but He obeyed them while He was growing up. He was smarter than His parents, but He submitted to them. There's no child smarter than their parents. But the Lord Jesus was, and He still submitted to them. It's amazing when we look at this. I preached a message a number of years ago titled, Obey and Honor. While we're in their home, while we're growing up, we are to be obedient to our parents, period. But we're to always honor them. My mother's nearly 90 years of age, and I'm going on 70. And I honor my mother. I am to do that forever. And so we find that Jesus Christ, as a child, He was a very obedient child. Even when He said one time in that text, I'm about my Father's business. He sat down in the temple at 12 years of age and listened to the doctors and the ministers speak, listening and asking questions at 12 years of age. But He was obedient. The Bible says He submitted and committed Himself to His parents, but on the cross, as He was dying, He honored His mother. Very, very important. Jesus was a friend to women in general. He honored all women. There's women like Martha and Mary, Mary of Bethany. Remember the woman taken in adultery? The woman at the well? The widow's mite? That widow got put into the Bible because of her faith. The diseased woman, the Canaanite woman. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, when He lists the apostles, there's 120 people total. He lists the women that was there. He lists the women that were there waiting on Pentecost. As a matter of fact, Mary of Bethany was the one that anointed Him for His burial. That's what He said it was for. She anointed Him, and He said that this is going to be for a memorial. And He said that when the gospel is preached around the world, let what this woman had done to me be told. Let it be a memorial unto her. He honored women. Now, The Lord spoke of the roles of a man and a woman. They're different roles. How many can say amen to that? Let me give you an example of this. There was different roles in the triune being, the Trinity. The Father had His role. Jesus Christ took a submissive role, came to this earth, born as a baby, grew up and went to the cross and died. Jesus was as much God as the Father. And the Holy Ghost is as much God as the Father. But there are different roles, even in the Godhead. And so there's different roles in the home. There's different roles in the church. And there's different roles in the society, which our society has forgotten about.
Yes.
Our society don't even know what a woman is anymore and what a man is.
Right.
I mean, our administration don't even know that. But notice here, as we come to this passage, notice as we come here, I'm in Matthew 22, I'm going to begin reading in verse 34. We're going to read this in one other passage, I think, and close. He said in verse 24, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying," they're always testing the Lord. They're always trying to trip him up and get him in a trap. They're always trying to find fault with him. By the way, they still do it today. People still do it today. Tell me, I have people tell me, "Oh, aren't there mistakes in that Bible?" No, there's not. Jesus, wasn't He just a man? No, He was the Son of God. He was God in flesh. Absolutely. And then He says here in verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Wonderful statement that the Lord said, verse 37 through verse 40. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, the Lord summed up the whole Ten Commandments in two commandments here. The first four of the Ten Commandments is our relationship with the God of heaven. And the last six of those commandments is our relationship with one another. The fifth commandment begins the second section. And we find that the home, now think about this, the home becomes a great test of character. In other words, we find that our parents are the first people that we meet. There's where our test is at. How are we going to get along with our parents as we're growing up and as we get grown? You see, God chose each of our parents. We did not have a vote in the matter. He just says, obey them while you're growing up. When you become an adult and you've got your own family and whatever, He said, you always honor them. And that's why we find over and over again in the Scripture that love is the fulfilling of God's law. We find this in Romans 13, verse 8 and 10. We find it in James chapter 2 and verse 8. It's called the royal law. And we will be judged by that royal law one day. And so what we find here is that the Lord is just summing everything up. First commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul and our mind. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves in this passage. And again, who's the first people that we meet in life? It's our parents. And that's the test of our character as how we will grow up and how that we will treat them, respond to them, and how we will do that as we get grown. In other words, if we can't get along with them, we're not going to be able to get along with anybody in society. If we can't love them, we're not going to be able to love anybody in society. And I realize that when some get saved and some aren't saved, I realize the conflicts that's there. But as a young person in a home, they're to be obedient. And as they get grown, no matter what, we must honor our parents. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter. I tell you what, turn with me to Colossians 3. I'd rather go here. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to close in this particular text. And I'm going to give you a few other verses. Revelation 11:8 speaks of one day God is going to give gifts out. He's going to give crowns and rewards out to those who have followed Him. And the case we're talking about today, mothers and grandmothers and daughters. He's promised a reward. In Revelation 14, verses 12 through 14, clearly He has promised that we all will be rewarded one day. John the Apostle wrote in 3 John 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's what we want to hear, is it not? And it grieves their heart when that does not happen. Some of the things that are ripping families apart today, divorce, abortion. We go out to the abortion clinic. Been doing this going on 20 years. To talk with people that are going out there to kill their baby. Birth control, immorality, adultery, sodomy is rampant throughout our land. And the Bible clearly speaks. I've had people tell me, well, it's not in the New Testament. It's more in the New Testament than it even is in the Old Testament. Half of Romans chapter 1 is dealing with this kind of a sin. We find that worldliness today, covetousness is destroying marriages. Many marriages don't end over just infidelity. Many marriages end over finances. Feminism, Hollywood is destroying people. Yes. It's secular education is destroying people. Secular music is destroying people. Yes. Talking to someone here a few years back, and was talking about music. I said, secular music, it doesn't matter what brand it is. He said, well, I like this kind of brand. It doesn't matter. It's wrong. We've got hymns and psalms. This is what God wants us to sing. And somebody said, well, I like it. Well, that doesn't mean it's right because you like it. We all like some of that stuff. And some of the older people. I've had someone tell me, several people to tell me, well, I like the country music. Young people in my, when I was growing up, they liked the rock and roll. Neither one of them is right. The country, if you ever actually looked at the words of country music, I've had people in my family that are older, it would be my dad's age, my mother's age, that want to argue and say, well, your music is wicked. Have you ever sat down and copied and read the words of a lot of country music songs? They're just as wicked as rock or rap or anything else that you could look at. So there's many things that are destroying families. Many things. People allow children to have television in their rooms. I don't even want one in my house. They let them listen to their music, and then the adults listen to their music. Well, all it's going to do is pull them away from the Word of God. Yes, amen. It's just going to take them away from the things of God. And I want to say this, too. I preached a message, and I carried this little outline in here just so I wouldn't forget this. I preached a message, I guess it was earlier this year, late last year, titled Distressed Parents and Wayward Children. And I realize that some good parents have had some children to go bad. Sometimes it's the parents' fault the children go bad. And sometimes it's not. But here's what I want to say to you is that train them the best you can. Pray for them. be an example to them, discipline them when they're young, speak to them, warn them, but never compromise, never make excuses, and never let them rob you of your joy as a parent. Adam and Eve, think about this. The first godly family and the first child that was born ever in the world rebelled against their parents and against God. They grieved the parents. And the Bible says Cain was of that wicked one, Jude 11, 1 John 3:12, and Hebrews 11:4. He was not a good guy. Noah had three sons, and one of them turned out bad. Isaac and Rebekah, we've got Jacob and Esau. We know the story with them. Lot's daughters and son-in-laws, they were burned in the fire of judgment because they refused to listen to God and come outside the city. Eli's sons, he refused to deal with them and later mourned their death. He made excuses for them. Samuel had two sons that did not walk with the Lord. King Jehoshaphat, King Josiah also. We have the prodigal son in the Bible. We also know in Matthew 10, verse 34 through 37, that there will be divisions in the family when someone gets saved, because there'll be folks that will not like it. It might be the parents, it might be the children. So these are realities in life. We see them in the Scripture, we see them in our society, but let nothing rob your joy that God has given to us in the Scripture. I spoke with a father the other night due to a circumstance in his family in another state, and I know this family, and he said, I just wish I could have done more. I said, don't beat yourself up over this. Love God, stay faithful to Him, keep praying for your children, and every opportunity you get, don't make any excuses and don't justify anything. Preach the Word of God to them. Amen. That's how that you love them and you keep your own sanity. Now let me close with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through verse 25. God is promised to reward us. He's promised to reward us. Amen?
Right.
Notice he said in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, that is sincerely, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect of persons. Those who stay faithful, God will reward them. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Let us stand, please. Let us stand. Father, we thank Thee this morning for the opportunity that You've given us to come together and look into Thy Word and, Lord, spend time together and pray. And Father, we pray now for Your blessings upon the singing and the remaining of this service. And Father, I pray that You will encourage the hearts of the women here, the young, the older. I pray that You encourage their hearts today in the fact that You love them, You created them, Lord, and that You honor them and the positions that You've given to them in the home, in the church, in society. And Lord, I pray that they will see their worth, Lord, that, and the beauty that You have bestowed upon them. And we're going to talk about that again tonight. But Lord, I just pray Your blessings upon them this day. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.